Hi guys, welcome to Trans Talk Podcast Episode 2. I'm Zane Schmoll from Trans Bavians, and I'm joined with Harold Zamt from Polar.
Hi Zane, good to be back.
There we go. Guys, yeah, so the first one, we gave you a little bit of an intro about what this is all about. And today we're chatting about training planners. Harold's going to dive into that, and I'm going to dive into our race start format that we are keeping the same. I know a lot of people are excited about that. And when I say the same, it's going to be the same as what it was last year. But first, let's chat to Harold a bit about the training planners so that you guys understand what that means.
Yeah, I think the big thing, obviously, as everyone hopefully that has entered the event understands, is that we're dealing with a real endurance race here, 230 kilometers, almost 3,000 meters of climbing. So you're going to need to do some training, especially if you want to have a, I won't say relatively comfortable day, but if you really want to experience the event to its full potential, I think training is an important part to this. So I think that's really the part we need to look at. And the reason we're talking to you guys now is that this is the ideal opportunity to start either a 16-week build-up or even a 12-week build-up to the event. So believe it or not, we are pretty much at the stage of this podcast coming out will be about 16 weeks out from the event. So it's a good idea to start planning ahead and looking at what your training is going to look like. And probably also take into consideration, it is getting colder. And as usual, we need to train through winter for this event. So that's going to be a tough one. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you were just going through some of your previous notes, and we both laughed at the preparation we put into getting people prepared to ride in summer. And they had December to train with and summer months to train with. And all of a sudden that seemed pleasurable.
Yeah, when the race was going to be moved to January because of COVID and the shifts there, it was, I think, a slightly different scenario. But again, we're back in August, which I think are the ideal months for this event. Not too hot, not too cold, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yes, you have to train through winter. And so what we're going to talk about, and hopefully the tips that we're going to share with everyone, is along the training planners. We have training planners that are available for download from the Trans Bavians site. Maybe you can give us some insight exactly where that would be.
Yeah, guys, you can go over to www.transbavians.co.za. You'll see there's a tab called Downloads, and under that tab, you'll find your Polar training planners. If you don't find it there, there's also a tab under Riders called Training and Nutrition, and there's also a full description of how those training planners work and download on our website. Harold, you want to explain what they actually are? What is a training planner?
Yeah, so they are. There's an option of, as I've already mentioned, either a 16-week training plan leading up to the event, or even a 12-week training plan. If you've been riding regularly and you're already putting in anywhere between, I would say, 6 to 8 hours a week on average, consistently, that is, then you probably can look at a 12-week planner. 16-week planner is a more gradual build-up, slightly longer build-up. But most of us should be relatively okay following a 12-week planner. If you're following the 12-week planner, your 12 weeks out from the race event would be the 23rd of May as your starting date. And if you are doing the repeat, it would be the 30th of May. So you have a little bit of time left to prepare. If you're going to follow the 16-week planner for the race, it would be the 25th of April, which is around the corner. And then the repeat would be obviously a week later, which would be the 2nd of May. I'd like to encourage most of you to follow the 12-week planner. It is a little easier to digest, to get your mind around. It is over 3 months of training. And the other part to the trainer is that you then fill in how much time you have available to train. Now, this would be your peak training week, typically, and that would be the most hours you can allocate to training. Now, the consideration for the Trans Bavians, obviously being a long endurance event, is that you might not get away with only training for 8 hours in the week. So we generally recommend anywhere from 12 to 15 hours. But for someone like you, Zane, that might be a challenge, yeah?
Yeah, I think for most of us listening and for myself, kids, work, family, finding balance is such a key part of training as well, I find, Harold.
Definitely.
If you don't have the balance, there's no point in overtraining as well. So, yeah, I think the word of caution is to be conservative with that peak week of yours in allocating that time, but also keeping in mind you are going to be riding a 230K race through the biggest wilderness area in the country. So you need to take it seriously. And I think that we all enter events to train for them and to give us those goals. So this is part of setting those goals. But yeah, back to Harold about being effective in your choice.
Yeah, so I think once you've selected that peak week, you'll see the planner steadily builds up over 3 week cycles to that peak week. And to give you an idea, if you're going to start on the 23rd of May, your peak week would be the week of the 11th of July. So you'd steadily build up to that over time. And what the planner does, it gives you an hourly goal for each week, how many hours you should look at training for that week. And then it further breaks that down into how much time to spend in each of the intensity zones, which we'll talk about on one of the following episodes. So it's all about selecting that time. But I do encourage you for a race of this length, look at something that is at least 12 hours. Hopefully you can manage that. Consider your other commitments, as Zane said. I mean, Zane has three kids and a family to run around after, so it becomes a challenge. And a lot of us have other commitments to consider. So if need be, you might want to peg it back a bit. But 12 hours would be my general recommendation as the minimum time for that peak week.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I think I'm going to roll over into a thing from the side of the race in terms of the start. And you guys are going to be preparing, like Harold says, over the next 12 to 16 weeks to get ready to that start line. With COVID, we were forced to think of a new way of starting the event. And we came up with this rolling start idea at a 5 a.m. start. Never in the history of Trans have we ever started it early. It's always been a 10 a.m. start. And it was insane how well it worked and how well accepted it was from you guys, riders, and from our crew. Our staff down the line loved it. It was never big bottlenecks at the checkpoints. And it worked really well. And after last year's event, we kept on getting emails and requests from far and everywhere asking us to please keep the format. So we've decided to do that. And so for this year, we'll have our rolling start from 5 a.m. again in the morning with your race start. And you'll have a window between 5 and 7 to start for everybody. And then at 7 o'clock, actually, last year we had the pro athletes start at 8 o'clock, but we've realized there was almost an hour of nobody starting. So the pro athletes will start at 7 o'clock, or the elite, the guys that want to contend for podium, will start at 7 o'clock. Harold, how did you find that rolling start last year?
Yeah,
you did two events at the rolling start.
Right? I was a bit cautious about the rolling start because it was such an early start to get up. But for me, it was quite a relaxed. It was far more relaxed than the typical 10 o'clock start. You weren't rushing around last minute, because if you didn't make it by 5 or 10 minutes of your planned start time, you could always start a little bit later. You're obviously starting in the dark, so that is the difference. You have to be prepared with your lights. And the other thing, of course, is you're going to have a far earlier start as far as your breakfast or nutrition is concerned. So those are sort of things we'll definitely talk about in future episodes, is that you are going to have to get up early. And that's maybe something you can also build into some of your training sessions, especially your long, slow distance rides over the weekends, to get them started relatively early so you can simulate that 5 o'clock start. But I think it's a very good concept. It's nice and relaxing. It's not everyone rushing, jostling for position. Zane, I guess you no longer have the seating problem that everyone wants to be seated up front. Takes care of itself. Yeah. And everyone seems to be far more relaxed. So I think it's a really, really good way to go.
Yeah, I think the relaxed word is key in what we saw as well. Everybody, if they had to quickly go back to the car and fetch the little bottle of squirt or something they've forgotten, it was a lot more relaxed. And you could see that in the spirits of the riders out there as well. People were enjoying it. I do think your points of nutrition and planning for it is slightly different to what people were used to doing. I think it worked, and we'll see how it goes this year. And we haven't decided completely if this will be the future of Transpavians, but we're going to keep it for 2022. And we'll see if 2023 brings back a 10 a.m. start or we'll continue with the railing start. I fear that the further we go down this road, we might be forced
to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Guys, I think that's from our second episode of the Trans Talk podcast is what we wanted to get across to you guys. We're going to try and keep these under 15 minutes. Quite bite-sized little episodes that you guys can listen to and get the info you need for the week. Hopefully some motivation and inspiration to get going and to get onto the bike and start riding and training for Transpavians. Before you know it's August and it's trans time.
Yeah, I think the big thing as well is start now when it's still a little bit warmer. Get your routine going, because it's all about training is all about training frequency, training on a regular basis. So when it's slightly warmer still, make sure you get that routine going. You get to have that routine well established before it gets cold, because when it gets cold, it's going to be a lot harder to walk out the door.
Yeah, and I think the cold thing, just back to the start, it is like normally at 10 a.m. it was a lot warmer to start, but now last year we had freezing conditions at 5 a.m. or 5:30 start. So also preparing to ride in that cold over the next couple of months will hugely benefit you if you know what gear is going to work for you. And we'll touch on gear in some forward episodes as well, in terms of gloves, arm warmers, that sort of thing that you need to think about as well, planning for the cold. Cool, guys. That's it from us for this week. Have a good week and enjoy your riding.
Yeah, go for it.